The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Can the NFL survive the latest COVID positive test? The Atlanta Falcons are shutting down their facility. At least one, but maybe multiple positive tests. Adam Schefter reported this morning on GetUp. Marlon Davidson is on the reserve COVID-19 list Tuesday, the Falcons' Marlon Davidson. According to sources, the rookie defensive lineman tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. 888-SAY-ESPN. I'm going to take some more calls this segment, Raj. I like those calls. I like the Malik, the 14-year-old who's for some reason taking a marketing class in high school.
Yeah, I think he has a future. I think he has a future at ESPN. Perhaps he can market the show.
Yeah, he just
not that our guys aren't doing a good job, but you know what I mean.
Straight up lied on the air. Said he was finished school 15 minutes ago, but you snitched on him. You should have called in on the snitch line.
I called the 1-800 Max Kellerman.
1-800 Max Kellerman snitch line. He'd been waiting for 50 minutes, not 15 minutes. Must have knocked out that marketing test pretty quick. Why are they giving marketing to 14-year-olds? Need to be reading literature and stuff.
Well, I'm sure that's a class too. You got to break up the day, man.
Break it up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I want to take a call, Raj. By the way, a lot of stuff going on tomorrow, gearing up really for the Saturday Lomachenko Lopez fight. It's a big fight in 2020, boy. I mean, Lomachenko's a big favorite, but that's a big fight. Teofimo Lopez was devastating when he won the title. He's undefeated. He's got real hand speed, real punching power, and a great kid, by the way. Teofimo is a brutal guy in the ring, but a great kid, really a great kid. A great kid. He's all grown up and married, but wears his heart on his sleeve, wants to be great, and is not afraid to get in with a guy who a lot of people think is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. So we're gearing up for that. The NFL they haven't canceled the game yet. They've only postponed games. Now, I expect, Raj, I said there was a 0% chance that they finish the season because at the time, especially before the season started, when they couldn't convince the players to go into a bubble and when they refused to cut the season short, like it was going to be 16 full games, even the NBA cut it short, and they were almost done with their season. No bubble, no cutting the season short. And they wanted fans in the stands. The NFL owners are just greedy. They're just greedy. There's an expression on Wall Street, bulls and bears make money and pigs get slaughtered. Don't be a pig. You know, like, I understand they want to cut their losses. They don't want to, like, oh, well, we're not going to have fans, we're going to lose money. But if you overreach, you wind up with nothing. And a previous caller in the last segment mentions, hey, you know, even though the tests are more readily available, those are my words, you know, there's more accessibility to greater number of tests now because there are more tests than there used to be. There's the antigen test, which is not as accurate, but much faster, much cheaper. But even so, there's so many cases, new cases every day now. We're up over 50,000 again. 50,000 new cases a day. That professional leagues are kind of monopolizing or hoarding tests that maybe could be more useful in other places, you know, where it's really life or death. It's an ethical question. It really is. Whether that should even, but however, that's what's, you know, the NFL owners are extremely rich and powerful, and there are different outcomes in this country depending on your socioeconomic status, period. For example, the president gets COVID. You can be elderly and obese and get the most cutting-edge treatment and recover. If your average guy is elderly and obese and gets COVID, you do not usually have a good outcome there. You know, I was thinking about Nick Saban. I'm happy. Like, I don't know Nick Saban. I've talked to him on TV. I've interviewed him and stuff like that. But I don't know him personally. But even if I had never interviewed him, just being a sports fan, I feel like I know him. Or rather, we all know him to an extent. He just doesn't know all of us. Raj, he knows me more than he knows you because I'm famous. Kind
you
of.
Are famous.
Yes.
You're on radio, TV.
Look at me.
Handsome.
You're rich. Handsome. That's right. Never mind that, Raj. The point is this. Like, shh. We're making out here in this business. Just keep pocketing the money, and let's not talk about it too much, Raj. You know what I'm saying? The point is, Nick Saban, I'm thinking like, oh, man, I'm glad he's rich and famous and will have access to all the best treatment, so I think he should be okay. He'll be okay, right? Good. So that's a relief. And then I think, well, because I feel like I know him because he's famous. He's on TV all the time, and I like football, and he's the greatest college coach, right, ever. I'm happy that he has access to all the best treatment, and he has a better chance of getting through it okay. What about all the other people who have it, who are 68 years old, he'll be 69 in a couple weeks, who aren't rich and famous and don't have access to that treatment? A lot of them in a world of trouble, over 200,000 dead Americans. I want to take some more calls, Raj. Conor McGregor wants to fight Poirier in a rematch. That's a tough fight. No gimmies in the UFC. We got to get a lot to get to. By the way, all these positive tests in the NFL, you know how many in the NBA? Zero. The entire time, zero. They put everyone in a bubble. They only invited 20 teams. They finished the minimum number of regular season games they needed for the local TV money to kick in. They got all that money. Then they played the full playoffs, even expanded it and tinkered with it. And that worked. It was dramatic and awesome. And they crowned the champion. Zero positive COVID tests. Now, basketball, there are fewer number of players on the floor at a time. They were almost done with their season. They had certain advantages. But the discipline, the planning, and the cooperation that the NBA just showed the rest of the world how to do it. NFL players didn't want to be away from their families. I understand that. Weren't willing to. And the NFL owners weren't willing to shorten the season. Think about MLB. The players said, we don't want to go into a bubble and not see our families for weeks and weeks and months. MLB said, well, then we're not going to do the 81 whatever games that you want. We're going to unilaterally tell you 60 games prorated salaries. It was the right thing to do. Because the major leagues cut their season almost by two-thirds, looks like they're going to crown a champion. And they had a lot of positive COVID tests. But the NFL is so greedy. They want 16 full games. They want fans in the stands. It doesn't sound like a... And by the way, the positive rate is going up and up and up. It is alarming. It's over 50,000 new cases a day. And it's likely to get worse, much worse, according to experts. And when that happens, there aren't enough hospital beds for the people who need them. This is why you flatten the curve. You draw it out instead of everyone getting it at once. Because then the healthcare system gets overtaxed and people die. And that's where we're heading right now. People say that's where we are already with it spiking again. But look, the way it's going to go is we're going to shut it down, flatten it, dip it, the curve goes down. Then we have to open it up and try to get some semblance of normalcy. And when we do that, the cases are going to start to go up. We're going to have to close it down again. That's the cycle. The NFL is past the quarter pole without canceling a game officially. I'm impressed. I didn't think they'd be able to do it. But they are a long way, from finishing the season. Casey Joyner, the football scientist, that's a scientist, not a scientist, Raj. Who knows what a scientist is? Scientist, of course, joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. KC.
How are you?
I'm doing well. KC, you've been saying some interesting stuff, and maybe this is known in the analytics community, but it was eye-opening to me. I think of the Chiefs as a team that, sure, let's have a shootout. You ain't going to beat the Chiefs in a shootout. Patrick Mahomes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, my goodness. And their defense isn't great, right? So, go ahead, shoot it out. But you had some interesting things to say about that. Will you share it with my audience?
In 2018, the Chiefs went 5-5 in shootout games, and I call a shootout game when each team scores 24 or more points. They lost the conference championship game in a shootout game, and I think Andy Reid realized what studies have shown over the years, which is that even the best teams in NFL history, I'm talking teams that score 500 or more points, they win just under 60% of shootout games as a whole, and then if you take a couple of outliers, that's like 53%. They're basically a 50-50 proposition. He said, we have to stop from getting into shootout games to win. Late last year, they finally were able to get out of shootout games. In the last nine games, they only had two shootouts. They won both of them, and that was one of them was the playoff game, and the other one, in fact, they were both the playoff games where they had great performances there. And this year, in their first four games, they were 4-0, and then they get in the shootout game against the Raiders because the Raiders knew we need to get these guys in the shootout game and win that way. So I think Andy Reid realizes that we just can't get into that kind of situation. If we can keep from getting into shootout games, the record is phenomenal. But over the past year, they're 5-4 in shootout games. So they are the type of team that says we don't need to get in those.
That's interesting to me because with inflation, right, points are cheap. I get that, but it seems very easy for the Chiefs to score, whereas lower scoring games mean each point is dearer, is more expensive, so to speak, has a greater influence on the outcome of a game, and that, to me, seems to increase kind of chance, increase the odds that the underdog could win because they could do it maybe by a simple score. Why do you think they have had more success avoiding shootouts? That seems counterintuitive to me.
It does. It seems counterintuitive. It would play to their strength, but the NFL has always been a pass to get the lead and run to win. In fact, Bill Parcells used to say that if he had a team that had less talent than the other team, if he says, my team doesn't have as much talent as the other team, I'm going to throw the ball a ton. And you think of Parcells, I mean, a power rushing coach, the guy who always likes to run the ball. But when he was in New England in his first year, what was it, Bledsoe had an overtime game where he threw 70 passes because they knew we have to do that. You're putting the other team into a situation where they're going to take more aggressive approaches. And if you're better on offense than they are, then you want them to take less aggressive approaches because they're, you know, because you're going to be better on offense than they are. But if you're both taking high aggressive approaches, if you're in that kind of situation, mm-hmm. the other team can start closing the gap because they can hit some of the big plays that they might not try in a lower scoring game.
Well, that seems to me to suggest more teams should be more aggressive. Right? Like, it's interesting. I would think I want a lower scoring game, but I get you, especially if you can get a PI call just by a lot of times you just take those shots down the field and something good can happen. And if you know, the old saying, right, even if you throw an interception, it's like a punt. You have Jared Goff as an upside play this week. Why? For fantasy football.
Got a Goff as an upside play this week. Look at what Fitzpatrick did last week, and everybody talked about how bad Garoppolo played. But really the story for the 49ers is they were missing two starting cornerbacks and two top backup cornerbacks. When you're down four cornerbacks, I mean, Al Davis used to say you can never let your team be short of cornerbacks. But if you've got four guys hurt, it's hard to keep a good set of cornerbacks out there. And the Dolphins don't have very good receivers, and obviously their quarterback is so-so. And you look at the Rams, and Goff can be a very good downfield passer, and they might have the best quartet of receivers in the league. And the 49ers, the early injury reports indicate they might be down five cornerbacks this week. They might be down one more player. So if you're down that many cornerbacks and you're facing that type of offense, I think Goff, who's been putting up 20-plus fantasy points on a frequent basis this year, is going to do it again this week.
Yeah, that's a really good point. If you're down four or maybe five of your top cornerbacks, right, your whole kind of unit, then a team like the Rams, where it's not a single receiver, that this is your number one guy, and the other guys fall in behind, but rather you have three different guys who are all capable of hurting you, and Goff spreads it around, that's the worst kind of matchup for a team without their secondary, right?
Yeah, it could be, and they can even go four deep because they had Van Jefferson was their number three receiver, and now that he's been, Josh Reynolds is back as the number three receiver, but now you could even go to Van Jefferson, and they've got two solid tight ends too, no less. I mean, you could add that to it and say, hey, we could flex those guys out too. So, I mean, San Francisco's just got to get healthy in that secondary, or else they're going to just have to play real close to the best games, because that's why they lost to Philadelphia too, I think, because they had to play a different type of game because they didn't want to expose the secondary.
Talk to me about Chase Claypool. Boy, people who are taking him are happy today. I may have to do that this week. Should I take Chase Claypool this week?
He should take Chase Claypool this week. The only concern is that he wasn't supposed to play that much this past Sunday, and Deontay Johnson got hurt for the second week in a row, so Claypool had to go in there. In fact, on his last touchdown pass, he had to actually talk to Roethlisberger and on the field and say, hey, what am I supposed to do on this play? He wasn't even sure of it, which says something bad for the Eagles that Roethlisberger told the receiver what to do and your linebacker still couldn't cover him. And Claypool, before that game, though, The Steelers have had three completions or defensive coverage penalties in the first three games, or seven of those plays in the first three games of the season, and Claypool had three of them. He's already their best vertical receiver, so it doesn't even really matter if Johnson comes back. Claypool's still going to be their top vertical guy, and I'm getting him into any kind of, if I'm in a 12-team league, I'm definitely getting him in the lineups, every lineup I have.
So the whole question with Juju Smith-Schuster, with AB, right, was, is AB making him look like a potential number one? And I thought, oh, Juju Smith-Schuster looks like a number one to me. And then AB leaves, and Juju Smith-Schuster was exposed as maybe not a number one. And I was kind of stubborn staying with that, thinking, no, I think he can be. But those who were worried, at least, that when the other guy's not there, he's going to get more attention and will not be able to produce, look smart to me at this moment. Number one, is that right? Do you think Juju Smith-Schuster's not an actual number one? And number two, so to speak, or B, let's say B. Raj, I don't want to confuse anyone here. That was A. And B, does Claypool change the equation for Juju Smith-Schuster, the attention that he's going to wind up getting?
I think that the Juju situation is similar to what it was when you had Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown. Wallace put up these fantastic numbers, and for a time he looked like the best receiver in the league, and it turns out Brown is actually the better receiver, and Wallace thought, I deserve big money, and these dudes said, look, we know what our offense does to make you a great receiver. So they ended up shifting him out, moving AB into his situation. I think Juju's in the same situation. He thinks, I'm big money, I'm this receiver, and the Steelers are like, we're making you what you are because of our system, and we do a fantastic job of developing receivers. The Steelers, by the way, one of the reasons they're so good at getting good receivers is they always say, we look for football players first, and then we look for the speed things second. Now, we're not looking for the speed things first. Like, Al Davis is always going to draft guys who run 4.240s back in his day, and the Raiders are still doing that to this day, and that's why they get hit and miss players. The Steelers say, no, we're going to go for Claypool. He's 6'3", 238 pounds, and he runs a great 40 time. He's a football player first and an athlete first. So that's why they go for those sorts of players, and I think they realize that we can have Chase Claypool develop into a receiver who can take Juju's place, which is bad news for Juju, but that's what the Steelers do.
Football player first, athlete second, you mean?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes. Football player
first. You had them both second. First. That's not possible. Casey Joyner, the football scientist, before I let you go, give me a good value play, and then also give me some upside. You know how all the fantasy wags do it. Give me the value play, and give me the upside play.
I got the value play this week in DFS to be Myles Gaskin. He's been getting carries, but he hasn't been getting goal line carries in that offense. And Miami last week had three carries inside the 10-yard line. They gave him all the Gaskin, including two at the 1-yard line. So that means he's getting those carries instead of Howard. Jets defense is terrible, so he's going to be a good play this week. In fact, I think he only costs $5,400 in DraftKings, and he's going to be equal more than that. As far as some upside plays, over the next next 5 weeks, there are only four teams that have really favorable schedules that would say they're going to get in a lot of high-scoring games. Carolina, Denver, Green Bay, and San Francisco. Any players on those teams, if you're looking for high-upside trade options, go for those players because some of them are going to be available for low prices, but they're going to be getting into a lot of high-scoring games in the next few weeks, and they're probably going to be worth a lot more than you're going to get for them.
He is Casey Joyner, the football scientist. Casey, plug something. Go ahead, plug away.
Plug away. We'd be at thefootballscientist.com. I have a paid subscription service that does fantasy football waiver picks, does start sit picks. I send out charts every week to tell you all these things about what the matchup is going to look like over the next few weeks. And if you use the discount code MAX, you get 10% off.
Let me tell you something, everyone. When I used to pore over these charts, the blue versus the green versus the yellow versus the red, as it color-coded, I'd spend hours on my $10 a week fantasy football thing, and I would reign supreme. Raj, I was the best player in our league. I admit, you and I were neck and neck, but I'm going to say it was me. But we were better than everybody else.
We had some good battles. And
I'm past my prime now because I don't have the time to pour over it the same way. I'm doing it much more kind of in a slipshod way, and I don't finish in the money anymore.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, reach me at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Who has more to prove? We debated it on First Take today. Brady or Rodgers? The answer is clearly Tom Brady in this game. I'll explain why coming up. First, callers on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Rob in Pittsburgh. Let me hear your last take.
I'm here.
Go ahead, Rob. Hey, you want to turn off your radio, Rob. You're listening to the radio. We can all hear it. It's like we're looking into the past. We're listening into the past. Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Greeny was talking about being a lifelong diehard Jets fan and how he could never switch over to another team or quit his team or anything. And I've been a Bucks fan since 1976, and I live in Pittsburgh now. And I got Steeler fans that want me to become Steeler fans, and there's just a Steelers fan, and there's just no way I could ever do it, ever, ever, never, ever. And now, hopefully this year, it really kills all the Steeler fans because they got the I got the Steeler killer on my team.
I hear what you're saying. I can tell you, as someone who did switch allegiances from a team, I grew up a hardcore Yankees, Giants, and Knicks fan. And when L.A. Radio at ESPN wanted me to come out there and host radio in L.A., I thought to myself, well, Dodgers are National League. It's no conflict. It's no problem. From Brooklyn originally, I can root for them in the NL. Up until they play the Yankees in the World Series, if that ever happens, tough. You know, I'm rooting for the Yankees, obviously. Giants, there was no professional, no NFL team in L.A. at the time. And Raiders were popular, but that's AFC, no problem. But, uh-oh, what am I going to do about the Knicks? I thought, because I think if you're a local host, you should really root for the local teams. No one's trying to hear the local guy talking about, like, not really loving the local team. And I thought, can I give up the Knicks? And I realized, what the hell am I talking about? Of course I can give up the Knicks. What did the Knicks ever do to me, for me, my whole life, except take my money? Ridiculous. Hell yeah, I give up the Knicks. To be a Lakers fan? When I was a kid, I wished the Knicks were the Lakers. I was always sitting there going, wait, hold on, why did the Lakers get all those guys? Just because the sun is shining? New York's the number one market. Like, the Lakers? You know who came out of New York to play basketball? Michael Jordan lived in Brooklyn until he was 10. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Dr. J. Are you kidding me? And L.A. had everyone? And by the way, through the years, it stayed the same. After Magic and Kareem and James Worthy, what, they have the number one pick again somehow? Is James Worthy? How'd they do that? Then it was Shaq and Kobe, and then they got Pau Gasol, and then even when the league shot down the trade for Chris Paul, they wind up with LeBron James? Yeah, I gave up the Knicks. I would say, I know you're thinking, oh, I'm going to ride the Bucks now. We got Tom Brady. I don't see it this year. I'd trade the Bucks in for the Steelers, tell you the truth, if you're living there all these years. Aren't I supposed to say something about the Dr. Pepper call-in line now, Raj? I'm good? Okay. Well, that was on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I happen to like Dr. Pepper.
Okay, we asked you 2 hours to say it. You refused to say it. Now, since you did it, you don't have to do it anymore. Now you want to bring it up again.
It's the Fansville thing.
Oh, okay. That is catchy. Get you.
I just want to say that, you know, it's good. It doesn't need a whole Fansville thing. It's delicious. All right. ZipRecruiter job search machine, Raj. Are you aware that we have one of those on this show?
It's one of my favorite segments, and it's the one contribution you've made to the show creatively. And I actually like it. You've never thought of nothing. Everything is from the brilliance of me.
What?
I come up with everything. You did come up with this. I got to give you credit. You came up with this, and I like it. So who do you got today in the the ZipRecruiter job search?
I invented radio. Well, free agent running back Le'Veon Bell currently plans to sign with one of the following three teams: the Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs, or the Buffalo Bills. Let's put them into the ZipRecruiter job search engine. Here, I'm typing it in now, like the old Batcave engine from the Bat computer from the Adam West Batman. And okay, it's spitting it out now, and it says Kansas City Chiefs. It's an easy one. Back up Hilaire. Not only just back him up. Can you imagine how Andy Reid could use both those guys even at the same time? ZipRecruiter job search engine says Le'Veon Bell should sign with the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't forget ZipRecruiter, Raj. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter, quality candidate within the first 24 hours, first day. So this got an 80% chance of being right.
Could you imagine the Kansas City Chiefs on passing downs with Lev Bell in the backfield, and then you got Tyreek Hill, and of course you have Kelsey, and then Sammy Watkins? I mean, who are you going to cover?
You can't even play them all at the same time if you Like, how can you get them all on the field at the same time? All right, look, Tom Brady has more to prove in this game than Aaron Rodgers. I said it on First Take. This is my last take. Where'd this thing go? There it is. Brady's 43 years old. Brady's supposed to be the savior of this organization. They won 7 games last year with Jameis Winston throwing 30 interceptions to the tune of 112 points to the opponents, right? So if you could just get a guy who doesn't turn the ball over, you're going to win at least 9 games. And if you add some premium over that, that's a double-digit win team. They might make the playoffs. And if it's Tom Brady with all those weapons and that improved defense, well, they might just win the Super Bowl. A lot of people still like them to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, at least to the NFC Championship game. But Brady hasn't put up Pro Bowl caliber numbers in a couple of years now. Years. And he was missing receivers every which way you could with the Patriots last year. And he has weapons everywhere you look this year. Just went into Soldier Field, got beat by Nick Foles again. Had over a minute to try to drive to win the game. Just needed a field goal. Couldn't do it. Couldn't connect on third or fourth down. By the way, they were tough passing downs. I get it. The guys were covered. Still couldn't do it. And then forgot what down it was after chewing out his offensive lineman earlier. Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, has posted the highest QBR through the first 4 games of a season of any quarterback in the history of QBR going back to 2006. That man is on fire. You still like the Bucs? Everyone sure? Imagine if the Bucs would have beaten the Bears. If Nick Foles hadn't have put him in field goal position, or if Tom Brady succeeded, hadn't forgotten the downs, and succeeded, the Bucs would be 4-1 right now with a tough win over the Bears at Soldier Field, flying high. Super Bowl favorites, you know, at least to get there out of the NFC among many. No, it didn't happen. And now they got to face the Packers with Aaron Rodgers? That's brutal.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, reach me at 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Who has more to prove? We debated it on First Take today. Brady or Rodgers? The answer is clearly Tom Brady in this game. I'll explain why coming up. First, callers on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Rob in Pittsburgh. Let me hear your last take.
I'm here.
Go ahead, Rob.
Hey,
you want to turn off your radio, Rob? You're listening to the radio. We can all hear it. It's like we're looking into the past. We're listening into the past. Rob, are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Greeny was talking about being a lifelong diehard Jets fan.
Uh-huh.
And how he could never switch over to another team or quit his team or anything. And I've been a Bucs fan since 1976, and I live in Pittsburgh now.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Steeler fans that want me to become Steeler fans. And there's just a Steelers fan, and there's just no way I could ever do it, ever, ever, never, ever. And now, hopefully this year, it really kills all the Steeler fans because I got the Steeler killer on my team.
I hear what you're saying. I can tell you, as someone who did switch allegiances from a team, I grew up a hardcore Yankees, Giants, and Knicks fan. And when L.A. Radio at ESPN wanted me to come out there and host radio in L.A., I thought to myself, well, Dodgers are National League. It's no conflict. It's no problem. From Brooklyn originally, I can root for them in the NL up until they play the Yankees in the World Series, if that ever happens. Tough. You know, I'm rooting for the Yankees, obviously. Giants, there was no NFL team in L.A. at the time. And Raiders were popular, but that's AFC, no problem. But, what am I going to do about the Knicks? I thought, because I think if you're a local host, you should really root for the local teams. No one's trying to hear the local guy talking about, like, not really loving the local team. And I thought, can I give up the Knicks? And I realized, what the hell am I talking about? Of course I can give up the Knicks. What did the Knicks ever do to me for me my whole life except take my money? Ridiculous. Hell yeah, I give up the Knicks. To be a Lakers fan? When I was a kid, I wished the Knicks were the Lakers. I was always sitting there going, wait, hold on. Why did the Lakers get all those guys? Just because the sun is shining? New York's the number one market. Like the Lakers? You know who came out of New York to play basketball? Michael Jordan lived in Brooklyn until he was 10. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Dr. J. Are you kidding me? And L.A. had everyone. And by the way, through the years, it stayed the same. After Magic and Kareem and James Worthy, what, they have the number one pick again somehow? Is James Worthy? How'd they do that? Then it was Shaq and Kobe, and then they got Pau Gasol, and then even when the league shot down the trade for Chris Paul, they wind up with LeBron James? Yeah, I gave up the Knicks. I would say, I know you're thinking, oh, I'm going to ride the Bucks now. We got Tom Brady. I don't see it this year. I'd trade the Bucks in for the Steelers, tell you the truth. If you're living there all these years. Aren't I supposed to say something about the Dr. Pepper call-in line now? Raj, I'm good? Okay. Well, that was on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. I happen to like Dr. Pepper.
Okay, we asked you 2 hours to say it. You refused to say it. Now, since you did it, you don't have to do it anymore. Now you want to bring it up again.
It's the Fansville thing.
Oh, okay. That is catchy. It gets you.
I just want to say that, you know, it's good. It doesn't need a whole Fansville thing. It's delicious. All right. ZipRecruiter job search machine, Raj. Are you aware that we have one of those on this show?
It's one of my favorite segments, and it's the one contribution you've made to the show creatively. And I actually like it. You've never thought of nothing. Everything is from the brilliance of me.
What?
I come up with everything. You did come up with this. I got to give you credit. You came up with this, and I like it. So who do you got today in the ZipRecruiter job search?
I invented radio. Well, free agent running back Le'Veon Bell currently plans to sign with one of the following three teams, the Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs, or the Buffalo Bills. Let's put them into the ZipRecruiter job search engine. Here, I'm typing it in now like the old Batcave engine from the Batcomputer from the Adam West Batman. And okay, it's spitting it out now, and it says Kansas City Chiefs. It's an easy one. Back up Hilaire, not only just back him up. Can you imagine how Andy Reid could use both those guys even at the same time? ZipRecruiter job search engine says Le'Veon Bell should sign with the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't forget ZipRecruiter, Raj. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter, quality candidate within the first 24 hours, first day. So this got an 80% chance of being right.
Could you imagine the Kansas City Chiefs on passing downs with Lev Bell in the backfield, and then you got Tyreek Hill, and of course you have Kelsey, and then Sammy Watkins. I mean, who are you going to cover?
You can't even play them all at the same time if you like. How can you get them all on the field at the same time? All right, look, Tom Brady has more to prove in this game than Aaron Rodgers. I said it on First Take. This is my last take. Where'd this thing go? There it is. Brady's 43 years old. Brady's supposed to be the savior of this organization. They won 7 games last year with Jameis Winston throwing 30 interceptions to the tune of 112 points to the opponents, right? So if you could just get a guy that doesn't turn the ball over, you're going to win at least 9 games. And if you add some premium over that, that's a double-digit win team. They might make the playoffs. And if it's Tom Brady with all those weapons and that improved defense, well, they might just win the Super Bowl. A lot of people still like them to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, at least to the NFC Championship game. But Brady hasn't put up Pro Bowl caliber numbers in a couple of years now. Years. And he was missing receivers every which way you could with the Patriots last year. And he has weapons everywhere you look this year. Just went into Soldier Field, got beat by Nick Foles again. Had over a minute to try to drive to win the game. Just needed a field goal. Couldn't do it. Couldn't connect on third or fourth down. By the way, they were tough passing downs. I get it. The guys were covered. Still couldn't do it. And then forgot what down it was after chewing out his offensive lineman earlier. Aaron Rodgers, on the other hand, has posted the highest QBR through the first 4 games of a season of any quarterback in the history of QBR going back to 2006. That man is on fire. You still like the Bucs? Everyone sure? Imagine if the Bucs would have beaten the Bears, if Nick Foles hadn't have put him in field goal position, or if Tom Brady succeeded, hadn't forgotten the downs, and succeeded, the Bucs would be 4-1 right now with a tough win over the Bears at Soldier Field, flying high. Super Bowl favorites, you know, at least to get there out of the NFC among many. No, it didn't happen, and now they got to face the Packers with Aaron Rodgers? That's brutal. Let's see what Kershaw does tonight. I hope he comes through, man. I don't want to see this guy's career be all about how great he was in the regular season and choking in the playoffs. We got a lot, big show tomorrow, a lot of NFL talk, plus Lomachenko and Lopez fight, Max Kellerman show, ESPN Radio.